morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. We got the whole gang here. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
And, well, I guess, you know, I wasn't here last weekend. How'd it go? We had, who's guest hosting for
Aaron.
Me? Aaron.
Yep.
Yes. Awesome. Thanks,
great.
Aaron, for doing that.
Great.
Yeah, great stuff. Another 2 hour show to go here today. So time to take your calls and take your texts. 1-877-332-8255. You can jump on the phones or jump on the text line right now. How was Canada Day for you guys?
Good.
It was great.
Spent it at the lake with the kids and they spent it in the pool. My son's big into fishing right now. So
he was fishing in the pool then.
Like 5 a.m. till 10 p.m. every day.
I've never seen, he usually always sleeps in and he's been just, at the end of the dock, there's a big school of perch and they just go out there and catch perch.
Another big thing is they've learned how to fillet. So they come up and they fillet it and then they make it into breakfast, lunch, and supper. Yeah. So
fish,
yes,
right on.
A lot of fish.
that's great. Fish fries with fresh fish out of a lake, though, are amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Right on. I was at the lake too. So that's where I was. Some family time. It's kind of a tradition we've got every year where we go with my in-laws to their cabin at Walker Lake and hang out, made it onto the pontoon boat a couple of times and just relax, play some games. We did a pig roast.
Ooh, how did that go?
It was good. Yeah, it was really good. A whole pig. Not a very big one, about 30 pounds, something like that. But
Do you put it in the ground or how are you doing?
My father-in-law is kind of a home remedy specialist. So he made it's a homemade spit, but it's a smoker. So it's like, it's parts of a Traeger smoker that he dissected off of a used one and put it onto this. And he made out of, you know, field stone and concrete, made a rectangular shaped, sort of pit that is built up. And then, a donated barbecue lid goes on.
there you go. You know,
yeah. So it's got a stainless steel barbecue lid. Looks really nice. All made of stone. And on the side of it is the auger and the intake and all the guts out of a Traeger smoker.
There
so it's like a homemade, you know, in place smoker. Yeah.
Neat.
So stuff the pig, put it in there. It was really, really good. So,
That'd awesome. Be fun.
Yeah. It started really early in the morning, though. You know, that takes a long time to cook.
It takes a while to cook. Exactly.
And in fact, next year we'll go even longer. Like, you know, so it was good. It was really good.
Yeah. There's some people around Dunder and Hanley area. That's they actually put them into a pit. They dig a hole.
Right. Yeah. And then the coal thing, right?
Yeah,
and
you cover it all up. Rocks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I've heard of that too.
Yep.
It's kind of like the Hawaiian luau sort of thing, right? A bit more like that. Cool. Anyways, 1-877-332-8255. Welcome to the show today. What is going on in the garden center right now?
Lots going on in the garden center in the fact that people are still coming in with a lot of questions, especially about fertilizing. Maybe trees are looking a little bit anemic, which means like chlorotic or they're yellowing leaves.
Yellow leaves, lots of that.
We'll see a lot of that. Spider mite in your spruces.
Spider mite in the spruces, seeing a little bit of needle cast disease.
Yeah,
some of the plants.
So, what's the difference between needle cast disease and spider mite? What do you
spider mite? You'll see the brand. The first of all, the needles are turning kind of a gray color first from the bottom. And spider mite basically work from the bottom inside of the tree up and out. Okay, and so you'll see the bottom branches and the inside being turning kind of a gray color first of all, and then that's the spiders sucking on the needles. And you don't see traditional Charlotte's web, you know, webs all over the tree.
Right.
It's just fine little webs in between the needles and along this little stems. Okay. So you have to really look for them to see the spiders. You almost need a clipboard with white paper and just tap your branch onto it. And then all of a sudden you'll see these little tiny specks moving around. And they're, like they said, they're hard to see, but they work up the way up and then they work the way out to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually the needles will turn brown and just fall off. You'll get a ton of them falling off. And the inside of the tree looks bare.
Okay.
Needle cast, you'll see brown right to the tips in sporadic, right through the tree, right to the top. Okay, you'll see that. And the last one you'll see with spruce trees is the weevil. And it's a spruce tip weevil. And what he does is he goes usually right where the new leader comes off. And that's mainly younger trees they go after. And so it's right where the new leader comes off and meets the first set of branches that come out of the top. And then they bore in. And then all of a sudden you'll see your tip of your tree, spruce tree, starting to wilt.
Mm, interesting.
And then those ones you just got to cut off and then pin up a new leader because you can't spray them, right? You can't get at them.
Oh, right. Okay.
So,
and then the other thing I see with spruce trees is just a lot of cones on them. That's usually a sign of stress too. Stress. So get out and water your tree.
Water trees. Fertilizer. Yeah. We're getting close to the end of fertilizing for evergreens, so that's very important right now. Is get out there and fertilize. Once in 3 weeks time, that'll be the end of your fertilizing for the season for trees, anyways.
Okay. I know that's what's kind of the issues we're seeing in the garden center. How about what's like on the shelves? Do we still have annuals and perennials and everything up for grabs, or is it pretty cleared out now?
No, there's still actually quite a good selection. All your annuals and vegetables, those will be on sale in the greenhouses right now. People are just picking up little fill-ins here and there.
Stuff that didn't turn out, right?
When it gets this hot in the greenhouse, it's hard to maintain the plants in those little pots in the greenhouse. So it's one of those things that you will start seeing less and less of that come around. But perennials, trees and shrubs, those are fully stocked right into the season. So we're getting a lot of people coming in and looking for, they might have a tree and a shrub they planted last year. Now I need some color, or I need something to fill in around the edges. So we're doing a lot of small designs where people will take a picture of their yard, bring it in to the garden center, and then we'll kind of just maybe draw a little heart on their picture here and there, or a little circle and say, this is where the daylily goes, this is where the hostas go.
I did that on a Friday where I actually had a picture of their yard.
Yeah.
I took a picture and then I printed it off. And then I drew the design right on the picture.
Yeah, that's cool.
People are visual, right? Yeah. So, and then I sort of took a felt pen and then drew it on there, and then they took the plants and the pitcher home, and they went and home and planted
kind of
everything.
Put it all together.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of that at Dutch Growers. We don't do any like full on design. We don't offer that design service, but the little DUI projects, people take a picture and they're just wanting some ideas. What can I put here? Are these planted too close together? Those types of things. We're dealing with a lot of that.
Right. Okay. That's cool. Any hanging baskets left, or are they gone?
There's a few hanging baskets, but they're pretty gone. Like
really?
There's maybe about 10 or 15 hanging baskets left. So
wow.
Yeah.
Lots of little planters, though.
Little planters and little fill-in things. Yep. And we're right in the thick of wedding season right now. So a lot of people are sprucing up their yards for entertaining. Now we finished grad season. So,
I know just driving around anecdotally, you know, there's lots of those little greenhouses that pop up in, say, next to a grocery store.
Yep.
You know, those sorts of things. Or in the corner of the shopping mall parking lot, you know. Yeah.
And those will all
places.
Be closing down right away, too.
Yeah, well, they're definitely still there, but everything's, you know, big sale, you know, lots of stuff. So it looks like it's kind of clear out time. But that is the point. If you're, you know, got to spruce up the yard for a wedding, you could probably do it pretty affordably now because you've got some pretty good sales on stuff like that around, right?
Exactly. And a lot of the garden centers are motivated to move their products as well, too. So the other thing that's fun to do at this time of year is to drive around on a Sunday afternoon or a Monday and go to the small town greenhouses, maybe if you don't get out to them, and sort of just check out to see what's in the rural areas, because there's some really cool little greenhouses that have really unique plants in them. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Well, that's fun. Yeah, it sounds like a good adventure. Mm-hmm. Good way to spend an afternoon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're getting close to our break time. That's what we're going to do. Ian is on the phone lines. Ian, hang on. We're going to get to your call as soon as we get back from our break. And then we're going to jump into the text line as well. 1-877-332-8255 to join the conversation. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We've got 2 hours ahead of us, which is great. Lots to talk about. And we've got a call, somebody who's patiently waiting. So thanks to Ian, who's in Saskatoon. Good morning, Ian. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Let's talk about, you want to talk about trees and fertilizing and lawn and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. Jill said the most common thing is fertilizer and trees. Well, guess what? So is this, I did not get around to fertilizing two of my trees. It's like a 25-foot green ash and my 20 to 22-foot Scots pine.
Yep.
So is this the time to, can I do that now?
Yeah, you can do it right now around the drip line of the tree. Right? It's still time to give it a shot of fertilizer. You know, they're still actively growing right now. I mean, ashes will start shutting down by September 1st, right? And they're the, one of the first plants to start shutting down. And spruces will start, and pines will set their terminal buds for next year in the, about the first week of August. So they'll quit the growth period in the next, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so. So right now with the heat and with a bit of rain we've had and the extra water you put in, you can get that extra little growth spurt, you know, on them. I know that the spruces are putting up their leaders right now. They put the side, a lot of the side growth first, and now they're putting their leaders up. So it's a great time to put the fertilizer down.
Okay. And the summer lawn fertilizer, is it time yet?
Yes, it is. Yeah, because if you put it down at the end of April, beginning of May, and you've been watering and that kind of stuff, and with the rains we've had, it's pretty much your lawn is turning a little peaked. How about you, Jay?
You know, okay, I was going to say, honestly, it's really only matters about when you stop in the fall. Because if you want to cut grass four times a week, you know, you can fertilize as much as you want throughout the summer. I honestly fertilize once a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do it again. So we start in May, do it in June. I got July, middle of July will come up, middle of August will come up. I'll do it again because I like it nice and thick and green and no weeds. I only have to cut the lawn once a week, even doing that.
But then for the trees, you got to slow down. Then you got to quit completely in September.
I don't have any trees in my lawn.
Okay.
That's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. So my trees are outside of my lawn in the way I landscaped it. Yep. So it doesn't.
But some of your roots are growing out into the lawn.
Sure. Okay. Fine. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So you want to, especially certain types trees like maples and birches, you need to slow them down.
Right.
In our back alley, somebody has come along and cut down, there was a bunch of trees that were growing on the outside of some people's fences.
Yep.
And somebody's cut them down and left 18-inch high stakes or trunks, you know.
Yep.
Some of those were elms, so they've been taken away, luckily. But I was talking to one of my neighbors last night. We're thinking, well, that elm stump or the stumps that are there, what do you do with those? Do you just throw some house paint on them for now?
Actually, well, that is actually, if they're doing it right now, that's actually not legal, actually, in Saskatchewan.
We don't know who did it.
Yeah, so the problem is when you cut them down, you almost have to take them right down. Okay. If you take them right down, you take them right to the landfill, then you take pictures of what has happened, you know, so that you don't get in trouble. And then as long as you get them buried and into the landfill, then you're okay. But leaving those trunks up there, now you've basically left some trunks that is active breeding areas for the elm beetle. Right,
yep.
Which is they're going to be oozing sap out of them, where you do all the cuts, and that just attracts the beetle, you know. And so,
if you have this issue, you can contact the city because they do have a Dutch elm disease program right now, and they'll come out and they'll identify if it actually is an issue, and then they will help take care of the problem as well.
So, even if you don't know who did that, which it's unfortunate they did that because they actually, you know, have created a spot where it could bring in that disease.
Bring in that disease, And then if you took that branches and they actually cut them all up into firewood and piled them up in the yard, that's even worse. Now you've made a really breeding area to attract the beetles, okay? Yeah. So,
well, for us, like, we're thinking we don't really want to take the time and effort to, unfortunately, we don't, like, to dig up, you know, down into the ground and get rid of the whole thing. And we're thinking, well, even if we just take our saws, you know, and saw it off the ground, that's probably not any better, is it?
That's all you have to do. And like the city took some across from the garden center a couple of years back, and they took them down to the ground, and then they took a stump grinder, and they ground them down, you know, 16 inches below the ground. You know,
making sure that you report it is really important.
Yeah.
And Ian, this is on alley, like city property, right?
Yes.
So I think because it's also on city property, then you can contact them and they can take responsibility for that. You know, instead of, you know, I know you're worried about it, which is good that you're concerned. But
you might be the one that somebody calls in and said you were doing it. So
you're right. So
okay. Last thing on elms. I was out cleaning out some flower beds and, you know, some things that got overgrown, and there is some elm that are like, you know, they're a foot and a half tall.
Yeah.
I took my spade and I had to go down like a full 11-inch spade to, you know, and when I pulled them out and laid them down on a 24x30 block, the root to the tip is 2 feet long.
I know. Yeah. That's why they do so well in the prairies, because they go down to the water table, right?
How do I get rid of those?
As long as you cut it down, you know, as long as that root that you left in the ground won't grow back again, okay?
No, but I've pulled it out and the top is, you know, so it's like 4 feet long, this thing. Like, yep. It's small, you know, but it's pretty darn strong. But do those have to go to the landfill?
Just put them in your common household garbage can. If they're only that big, just fold them up, you know, and put them into your garbage can. Because you're basically taking seedlings that have seeded into your yard, okay?
Yeah.
And so, if you pull those out, just put them into your regular garbage, household garbage. Don't put them into your compost.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. Thanks for the call. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
1-877-332-8255. That actually brings up a topic we want to talk about.
Yeah, there was breaking news this week about in Regina, especially. They cut down already 17 elm trees because of Dutch elm disease. So it's spreading. And this is the earliest that Regina has had to cut them down. Usually they start seeing symptoms a little bit later, you know, starting toward the end of June into July. Mm-hmm. Well, they saw this already at the beginning of June. And so they removed all these trees already. And so it's on the move in Regina. And you can imagine seeing some, you know, down Albert Street, you know.
Yeah.
You know, around the Parliament buildings and all that kind of area with no trees, right? Because that's what it looked like. It looked like back in the 30s. Right?
When you see old pictures of Regina. Old pictures, and it's flat and there's nothing, or Saskatoon and it's downtown and
you can,
bare.
And you can think about what it's going to cost the taxpayers to take down all these trees, to cut them all down. Like, it's a big job to cut those trees down.
That's right.
And to dispose of them. And so it has to be done all properly, right? So it's one thing to watch, and you'll see, first of all, the top of the tree dying, with the leaves will start turning yellow and then they turn brown and wilt, but they won't drop their leaves. The leaves will hang on those branches.
Oh.
That's what you'll start seeing.
Now, you read, Jill, that you said that we are, you know, Regina, Saskatoon, kind of some of the last places in the country to survive this so far.
That's because we're cold.
Yeah. Okay. So the bugs aren't migrating as quickly here because we are so cold in the winter. So we have this beautiful canopy of elm trees, but with the movement of firewood and things moving across the country, I mean, like we just finished saying, like, you could maybe grab a block of wood and put it under your tire to hold a camper.
Yeah.
And throw that in the back of your car, not thinking it was a big deal. Or
Emerald ash borer got to Vancouver. It jumped from basically Ontario, Manitoba area, jumped all the way to Vancouver. And the only way that possibly ever could happen is by the transporting of firewood.
Right.
It's the only way.
Whether it was, you know, out of ignorance.
Yeah.
Or on purpose. It's hard to know, right?
Yeah, but one of those little pieces of bark could have 200 eggs in it.
So buy your firewood or pick up your firewood at wherever you're camping, and then use it up there and leave it behind whatever you don't use.
And can it transport not just an elm? Can it transport in other types of wood, too?
For elm beetle, it's on elm trees.
Yeah.
Emerald ash borer is on ash trees.
Mm-hmm. So they're not on other species of wood, though.
It'll be those type of trees that they like. And look, just think, an elm tree, take about a 2-inch square piece of bark. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
You could have over 200 beetles underneath that. They're small little beetles.
Wow.
Okay. They're small little beetles, 200 beetles. Now, these beetles don't actually kill the tree. It's the fungus that they carry on their back that infects the trees and basically clogs up the pores, and that's why the tree just starts dying for it, right?
Right, right.
And then once they get into a street, it's not the beetles anymore that can transport it, because you'll get a whole street full of elms that's monoculture, right, all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And the roots are fused together. Now the disease can move through the underground.
And do the beetles fly?
The beetles can fly, they can crawl, they can do all that kind of stuff.
Oh, boy, yeah. So, okay.
But saskatoon.ca/elm disease is where you want to go to find out more information about that, and if you need to report anything.
So. And the same thing goes, you know, Google that for Regina, right?
Doesn't matter what town. The Assiniboine area has it really bad because it's in the natural elm trees along the Assiniboine River and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's different parts of the province where there's lots of it. And so if you do see it, there is some in the Saskatchewan government that you can contact, and they can keep you in contact with other people.
Okay, perfect. Kathy, we want to get your call on, and just bear with us. We had to get that message out about the elm stuff. So we're going to take your call about apple trees as soon as we get back from our break. Just stick on the phone lines for us, Kathy. We'll get you on right away. And the text line, too, when we get back. Time for a news update. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thanks for spending Sunday morning here with us. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Welcome back to Garden Talk. Before we just get to Kathy's call, Rick, you wanted to say one more thing about the Dutch elm stuff.
Just one quick thing. I mean, everybody has all these beautiful trees. They move to these areas where all these beautiful big trees are. And whether it be in the, where the big trees are or small trees, when the city has those boulevard trees, we got to water them. And if you keep a tree healthy, fertilize them, water them, you know, prune them properly, all that kind of stuff, the bugs are attracted to stressed trees. Mm-hmm. Honestly, they are. And so if you keep them healthy, so that means that once a month, that's all you really need to do. Take a root feeder or something like that out to that tree in the boulevard, because we, you know, you can notice how the grass doesn't even grow well there around them because the roots are all there sucking everything up. And we've had this drought. I mean, we've had a few rains now, but it's still not that much. We have this drought we're having. Those trees need water. And the water tables have been down lower everywhere. So just get out there once a month and just.
Yeah. It might be the city's tree. But if you want to,
it's your tree.
But if you want to save it because it's, you know, next to your yard or in front of your house, you can do your part to help out.
It's on city property, but it is our tree. So
that's right.
I mean, you could do a little bit of taking care of them.
Awesome. Okay. 1-877-332-8255. We're now going to North Battleford. Thank you so much for waiting, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Great. So, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about an apple tree on my yard. So, ultimately, my question is going to be, is it alive or is it dead?
Okay.
So, recently purchased a home last year, and it was, you know, it had grass, it had trees and everything like that. And one of the trees that was on this yard was an apple tree. I couldn't tell you what kind, but I know they weren't ornamental. The tree is about 5-6 feet tall. It had leaves. It had apples. It looked healthy. So come spring, everything like that, for this year, the tree, it looks dead. There were no leaves. There were no blooms, nothing. But there were a lot of shoots at the bottom coming up.
Yep.
So I took one of the branches, I cut it just to see if there is green life or anything like that. And at the edge, very far edge, a very, very faint light green was there.
Almost like a lime color.
Yes.
Yep.
Is my tree dead?
Pretty much from the base down. Now you can check around the trunk of the tree, whether there are any voles or mice or rabbits, you know, chewed the trunk. Then that would stop any juice. That's one thing that I'd look at for that size of apple tree.
There is a cover at the bottom so that to deter any kind of rabbits or anything like that from chewing.
Okay, perfect. Well, one thing to remind people about those covers is that you need to remove them in the spring unless you're keeping something on them around them to keep the whippersnapper away from them. But you should remove the grass away from the tree so that the grass is not right up against the trunk, because the biggest killers of trees is also whippersnippers, okay? And so, but if you take
grass
that
around the tree.
Okay, so if you take that cover off, because what happens if you leave those covers on, you get too buildup of, it gets too humid and too moist. You know, grass clippings fly into them or bark goes into them, and the bark can rot around them. So once you take them off and then put them back on in the fall again, okay, that's important.
Now, we're not saying that's what happened with this tree, though.
I'm just saying that this is just, something that could happen. But if your shoots come from the bottom, if it's from below the graft, then you're just going to have a wild apple tree and not the same trees, okay? If one of the shoots are coming from above the graft, then that will still be the same apple tree that you had before. But basically, what from everything you described to us, the tree that the top of the tree is done. It's gone.
It's done.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder what caused it, but thank you very much.
There's so many things, but with the root being alive, like the sucker's coming up, it has to be something to do with either sun skull or an animal or something like
or
that.
Or just a severe winter. Sometimes it just doesn't make it, you know. Okay. We get that happens once in a while.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kathy.
Yep.
You too. All right. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Yeah, that does happen, right? Every once in a while, you just get a tree that just didn't take, right?
Didn't take, and something happened at the graft union and anything like that. But
Plus we talked about before, like a lot of people have planted the multi-graft apple trees, right?
Yep.
And some of them aren't quite as hardy as, say, just a standard one that we, you know, that you guys sell or that you'd buy as a single tree.
Yep. And so sometimes that's why I always want to buy one. I always check to make sure that there is actually three or four on there, because there's chances are that you will, at some point in time, you could lose one of the grafts. Okay.
Right.
So it's just a matter of usually that the main one, this main trunk is one, and then you'll usually have two or three other grafts on the side branches from that main tree. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure there's at least three, possibly best four, because if you do lose one, you still got three more.
But like we say, sometimes it's just the winter just takes it.
The winter takes it.
Right. And yep. You could plant another apple tree there. It might be totally fine.
Yep.
Right. It happens.
Exactly.
That's happened lots.
Depends on variety, especially out in the country. Varieties is huge. I mean, the city is not quite as critical, but in the country or in the new suburbs, you know, out in where there's no trees and everything else, those are critical of what type of apple tree you plant.
Now, quickly, give me three types of apples that you would say are your best apples that are hardy here in Saskatchewan.
For if you're going to put it in the country, there's three of them I put in for sure is Prairie Sensation, September Ruby, and Goodland. Those ones are all tough.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay. So here, let's go to our text line. 1-877-332-8255. This is Francois in Saskatoon. Question about a dwarf Alberta white spruce. Seems to be stressed, yellow, drying. What might be the cause of this? Mitigating circumstances. A large overcrowding juniper was taken out where sort of a rocks and perennial flowers are now. There's sandy soil. It's got hot south exposure, lots of ants. Extra watering to establish the new perennial flowers. So wondering what's happening with the dwarf Alberta white spruce.
Dwarf Alberta white spruce are not as hardy for this one here is still green, right? Normally what happens in the spring, if you don't wrap them, they turn brown at the top, right?
Yeah.
Now, and then they come back. They put new growth on and come back. And some years they come back better than others.
I call them my gardener's challenge.
Yeah, they're the gardener's challenge.
That's the thing. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And they are for our province. They're not really made for Saskatchewan, so you have to have them in a sheltered location, not too much winter sun. And especially putting that burlap around them, you know, put stakes.
I really don't like that one has the name Alberta in Alberta, it, because it's not a super prairie hardy.
And in Alberta, in Calgary, they don't even survive at all because they get Chinooks, which wipes them right out.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, so why has it had that name? Should be called the British Columbia white spruce then.
Yeah. But making sure you're wrapping them in the winter and protecting them from the sun scald, I think is the biggest thing.
Yep.
But they are a plant that you are going to get spotty patches and you'll want to make sure you're pruning them regularly to take those out.
Starting Mother's Day, fertilize them with 30-10-10 every 3 weeks. And then until about this time of the year right now.
Yep.
And then quit. And then you'll get they push lots of new growth out. It's amazing what they do.
So actually this one really doesn't look that bad.
Actually, it doesn't look that bad compared to most of my sea.
So it looks all right, but you can still fertilize it. And then one more time.
One more time. Get some growth happening this month.
Yeah.
Fill it back in, and then before the ground freezes, put your stakes in around the tree, and then put your burlap up. And then if you leave the top open, or otherwise, if you want to cover the whole thing over, make sure you leave it about at least 6 inches off the ground, your burlap, so the snow can go in around the roots.
Perfect.
Okay, now, if mine doesn't make it through the winter and I'm wanting to replace it with something similar, what am I replacing it with?
One that would be better would be one called Ohlendorfi spruce. It looks very similar, but it's way tougher.
Okay.
Ohlendorfi spruce.
And another one is called a penguin pine. Mm-hmm. I have one out the lake.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's good.
Called a penguin pine. It's a little bit slower growing, but it does the same type of thing.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about what's an alternative to grass for an acreage with a text from Charlene in a second, plus text from Linda, Amy, Darren, Bev, and a few more after that. So stick around. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk. Good time to join the conversation. 1-877-332-8255. Zooming through our first hour here. We've got one segment left, but another whole hour coming up. So lots of time.
I'm going to give everybody a good tip here. Okay.
Okay.
Really good tip.
This one, keep your phone in your pocket.
Don't carry your phone in your pocket
when you're running the zero turn mowing. Okay. Because you're only bouncing around and it flips out of your pocket. And when it falls through the mower and ends up into the blades, it's not a good sight.
Yeah, but the thing about this, you have to be honest.
Don't have to continue the story.
Learn from your mistakes, Dad.
Don't have to learn the story. I did it twice in less than
a week
and a half.
You put two brand new phones through the mower?
Through the mower.
In a week.
What's left of a phone when it goes through a zero turn mower?
I had to get my needle nose pliers and try to find my SIM card, and I found my SIM cards out of all the pieces and was able to pull the SIM card out and put it into another phone.
But he's like, Jill, I need another phone. I'm like, Dad, we've used two already this week. I'm like, I'm not getting you another phone. There's going to be rules. I felt like I was talking to a child. We need to get you a fanny pack.
So now I just can't take the phone anymore.
I guess not. Maybe you have to get him a lanyard to put around his neck.
Yes, just like his reading glasses.
His reading glasses, that's right. Well, he needs his reading glasses to look at his phone anyways. They might all be attached to the same thing.
Exactly. We can just do like the lanyard of all the things.
Two phones through the lawnmower. Wow.
And it was like there were nothing left of them. Like there was my case, everything.
Just bits.
A leather case that folds over top of it, everything. It was all
just gone.
Everything was just like, it was almost like it went through a tree chipper.
Well, essentially it did.
Did, yeah.
Oh my goodness, Dad.
That's a good story. I like that.
Yeah, it's a great story.
They're making good money off of you, Rick.
You should see,
new phones.
I went into the garden center, and these girls of mine told everybody in the garden
center. No, never. They were like, why are you back here? I said, I need to pick up a new phone for my dad.
All looking at me and smiling at me and saying, so how's your phone?
Well, everybody needs to know how to get a hold of you.
So, okay, let's just talk about this for a second. So two phones through a lawnmower. Have you run over one, or what else have you done? There's got to be some more stories.
There's skid steers.
I've had a skid steer one where I did delivery and I dropped it on my pocket and I thought, I didn't have my phone. Went back to it. I dropped off some bales of mulch and went back to the job site and where they dropped off the mulch, and then the skid steer that has tracks on it,
yeah.
It had drove over top of it and turned over top of it. It was sitting face down with my leather thing open flat on the ground with the glass facing down on the asphalt. So it has skidded on it. The phone worked.
Did it really?
Well,
if we're throwing Dad under the bus, you just have trouble with pockets in general. Like he always has broken pens in his pocket, or he's got his pruners in his pocket, and he goes and sits down in his truck and like
rips the seat. Yeah.
And see, like him in his pockets, like just empty your pockets.
But you know what?
Oh, that's funny.
The girls want me to change to an Apple, and I had a Samsung, and it's. I mean, look at if I had probably an Apple, I'd probably never even found my SIM card.
Oh, that's right.
But we'd be able to help you fix it.
Oh boy. All right, let's go to the text line, 1-877-332-8255. Speaking of phones, that's pretty good. Okay, this is from Charlene, who's in the Pence area, says, what's a good alternative to growing grass for an acreage? I'm looking for drought tolerance and low maintenance with less mowing.
Yeah, there's lots of drought-tolerant grass seeds.
Okay, so
if you need a big area, the best place in Saskatchewan to go is Early's Farm and Garden Center in Saskatoon.
Okay.
And you can go online, they can send it to you that way too. But they supply all the Department of Highways, the construction places, the sports fields, the golf courses, they supply them all.
City parks.
And they make their own blends. And so you can get the one same grass that they put in the ditches, you know, so that only gets rain. I have most of my acreage is what called Western Parks. And there's also a sports field mix they have as well.
Okay.
Those ones, they're very drought tolerant. They don't grow. They get a little bit clumpy at times, but they're not bad. So even, especially Western Parks.
Okay. So that is an
And if it does turn brown,
yeah.
Okay, through drought, next time it rains, greens right back up again. It doesn't die.
Okay. So that's a grass, but how about like, we've heard of people clover. Doing like clover.
Clover. Yeah. And clover, you need to get established first because it needs to sense the roots just like that. And talked about that elm tree that goes right down to the water. That's what clover does too.
Well, I'll see people do a clover grass mix.
Yeah. That's what I'd suggest is put a clover grass mix in because then you fill in all the spots until the clover really gets a hold.
And does clover tolerate drought? Really
yeah,
well?
Because if it's established, because it sends roots down deep to the subsoil moisture.
Oh, okay. The only thing I find with clover is sometimes you get some winter kill on it. So you have to reseed the every once in a while. Yeah.
That's why I like to do a mix for, you know, do a dryland mix and clover. That's what I would suggest.
So then and remember, you're not going for the perfectly manicured lawn look when you're doing these mixes too. It is sometimes a little patchy. And
you're not going to have a J. Thomas lawn.
Yeah, no green shag carpet. That's right.
Yeah. No, that's a different look.
And it requires lots of water, lots of fertilizer to get that. So Charlene's got a bit of a choice here, though. You kind of have to decide, are you going to go with just the mix of grass or are you going to mix in the clover and be okay with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can mow both of them if you want to down the road. So
yeah, Early's Farm and Garden Center, check out online. They have all the different blends of grass seeds on there. And they'll, if you have some special thing that you want, a sheep fescue or some other types of grasses in there, they can blend you a mix too.
But you're right. There's, if you think about lots of city parks, you know, or ditches, especially in the cities, you know, you see it. Yeah, it's pretty green, but it doesn't get any water except for the rain.
They
right?
do. So. They supply a lot of reclamation areas and that kind of stuff. They're putting back into grass. So yeah, they have everything.
Okay. Let's go to a text from Linda. Let's see if I can get this one right. Let's see. My house has a yard full of grown fir trees. Yep. One appears to be dead, except at the very top. There's something that I can do to save it, or is it gone? Also, what fertilizer do I use? So the one says, she goes on to say, the one that is brown is dead and needs to be removed. If it's caused by needle cast, you know, is that something you need to do right away or not?
Yeah, it could be needle cast. If it's fir or spruce, you know, I'm not sure what it is. So it's if it's fir, yeah, that one looks like it might be needle cast. It's gone right up through the whole tree.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is, I would suggest as a preventive, mm-hmm. I would take some copper spray and I spray at least the two trees on either side of that tree.
Now,
okay, and remove that tree.
When you see trees that are planted that close together, especially large trees like that, it's also something you have to keep in mind when you're taking those trees down, because the wind is like the trees are holding each other up as well over time. And when you take maybe like two trees down on either side and mm-hmm. leave one tree, that tree is weaker.
And this picture they showed me, they're really tight. Like
really
it's almost like a
together.
Windbreak, right?
Yes.
And so one thing about that is that those trees are always under stress because they're competing against every bit of moisture they can get. Mm-hmm. So catching as much snow around them in the wintertime is huge. So mm-hmm. if you can't water them, put even some snow fences along them. You know, catch lots of snow around them so that they can build up that subsoil moisture so that they can survive the summertime if you can't water them.
Okay? And deep feeding them so the roots don't stay as surface level too.
Okay, exactly. We're going to stop right there. We'll answer one more text from Linda when we get back, and we'll get to Cody's call at the top of the hour. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Here we go with hour number two, and welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We got to thank Cody. We're going to go right to our phone lines right now. We're going to get to our text line back in a second, but we got to thank Cody for sticking around, waiting through the break so we could get his call on. Hi, Cody. How you doing?
Good. Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What do you want to talk about today?
Good to hear. I have a question regarding kind of a, I guess you'd call it a hippie lawn or a bee-friendly lawn or meadow lawn, they call it also. I'm a busy dad these days. I like trying to maintain my yard. I got about one time a week that I can cut my back lawn, and it's just not doing so well. So I was considering adding some alsike clover, maybe some red creeping thyme. It already has some black medic with the yellow flowers and regular white clover in it. I was just wondering what your guys' opinions might be on that, how well it'll look when you mow and manicure the lawn, if it'll grow well. What the overall result of that might be, and what your guys' opinion on adding those things to my back lawn.
Go ahead.
Well, one thing that you're going to find when you do it is you're not going to have a uniform lawn look.
That's what I'm saying.
So it is going to look like a meadow lawn. So it's some places are going to grow faster than others, and some are, you're going to have some spots. Some things like your thyme is going to grow a little bit more moundy.
And look good in the first part of the summer, but not as good in the second part of the summer. You know?
So just as it progresses through the season, you're just going to find your lawn's just going to be, it's going to be a little bit patchy. And as it grows in, you're going to find that you're going to have to get into a routine of cutting it, but being okay with it being different heights, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So
would that be negated at all by mowing it once a week? Would that kind of keep it to the same heights?
It does keep
kind of patchy with the dog back there anyway.
Yeah, it does. It does keep it when you mow it once a week. It does, because I know in my grass I have all kinds of other things growing in parts of my grass as well. because some of it used to be just natural grass that I seeded into, right? And so it has all that, what you just explained. I have all that in my grass. And so then, yeah, so just a matter of when you do cut it. And when you had rains like this, like the other grass has filled it in. But when it gets drier, the grasses don't do as well, but the other grasses do better. Other, you know, the thyme and the natural stuff do better during drought, right?
One thing you're going to have to watch is where you set your lawnmower at when you cut it. Because if you're cutting, maybe your thyme and maybe your clover down as low as you want to cut, maybe a low grass, it's not going to look good. You're just going to basically have sticks coming out of the ground.
I set my mower to 3 inches.
Yeah. And you might even want a little bit higher than that with some of these plants that grow a little bit more moundy, or else you're just going to cut the foliage off of them all the time, and you're not going to.
They won't survive.
Yeah,
it won't look as good. That's why I have mine at 3 inches.
Yeah, so you might want to even set it a little bit taller and just be okay with that.
Yep.
Okay. Do you guys at Dutch Growers sell the seeds for Elsite clover and red creeping thyme? Could I mix a bag together of this stuff, just a mixed seed to spread on my lawn?
I don't think we have the time, but I know we have the different clovers. I can't remember what's in stock at this moment, but we do have that. And like I said, between us and even Early's Farm and Garden Center, we'll have all the things you'd need for them.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, so it's not a bad idea to do that to your lawn. It would just require a little bit...
It's a completely different lawn.
Just like a lot of people will take their lawn right out and put a xeriscape in the front yard, you know, because they only want to take care of the back yard. There's no time for the front.
Now,
right?
Before you leave, Cody, one thing I want to ask is, we had talked about this a little bit earlier with a text, is would you mix in any grass seed with it just to fill in some of those areas, Rick?
And you can.
I probably would. It would just probably help with the patchiness a bit.
Right, because there's some drought-resistant grass seed you can get from Early's. What is it called, Rick?
Western parks, more drought tolerant, and don't have to mow it quite as much, and that would work as well.
Just kind of fill things in between. It tolerates low water, and then also it's going to do good if it's a little bit longer, anyways.
And then if you have a dog as well, we have a product called Dog Spot Prevent. And it's like putting on like a fertilizer, and it'll help prevent and getting all those spots in there too. Because those dog spots will take out the natural grasses as well as the tame grasses, right? So if you put the dog spot prevent every time you fertilize, you'll prevent a lot of that from happening.
Now, if you're unsure if you're going to like this, it might be a good idea if you want to take like maybe a section, like an 8x4 section of your yard, and try it out. And see, hey, do I actually like the look of this? Because it is a specific look. It's not going to look like a regular lawn. So that's another thing that you might want to do too, is to be like, hey, before I do this to my entire lawn and maybe have to rip it up again because I don't like it, maybe I want to try it in this one section for next season, and then and see how it looks. But remember, it's going to take multiple years to thicken up too. So what you get your first year is not going to be like the end. So you got to use your imagination a little bit.
When would be the best time to plant these clovers?
Anytime. You got lots of time yet.
Yep. As long as you can keep water on it.
Soil over top, or?
If you got some areas that are patchy, you can put a little top dress on them, just a thin little layer, and then seed right into that, and then keep them moist.
Just keeping them moist.
Because near in the middle of summer, where, you know, this next week we might get 30 degrees, right? So just got to keep them moist.
Great. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, great call, Cody. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Really cool call, actually. That's something different, right?
Absolutely.
You know, which is great.
And we're seeing a lot of different things like that because, the cities are even talking about, water conservation. What can you do?
Right.
And those are the kind of things that if you don't mind the look, if you don't want the manicured look, those are the kind of things that work very well to keep your lawn sort of looking green. But it might be, different looking, but it still works.
And one thing to keep in mind too, when you're doing these meadow lawns, there still is weeds in that lawn that you'll want to take out. And so you have to go through your lawn and still take those bigger weeds, or else you'll have a mess look. Because then you'll have these weeds growing up that are gigantic. So you have to go through and continue to still weed, even though you have that.
A lot of them will be annual weeds too, and there'll be some perennials in there you'll have to take care of, like thistle and that kind of stuff. But if you keep your lawn still thick, even with what you have, by overseeding and that kind of stuff, it'll keep a lot of those other grass, all the weeds out.
So let's talk about this. This is a question that comes to my mind, is to transform an existing lawn to say a drought tolerant grass, like yep. changing it, you know, seeding the stuff we talked yep. about from earlies, or to some of these plants that Cody was talking about, do you have to like strip your lawn and start again? Or can you take a lawn that exists and transform it into this?
You could pretty much, it depends how thick it is. Your lawn, you know, you might have to, you know, you might have to stress it a bit first.
Mm, okay.
You know what I mean? To be able to work that other grass into it at first.
Or take some chunks out and add some of this stuff into
yeah.
it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because it's really thick. It's going to be, if your grass is really, really thick, like you've had a really nice lawn,
it's just going to keep choking it
but
out.
But most people that are going to be doing this already have a lawn that is stressed already.
Right.
And they don't want to have a manicured lawn, no time for it, right? And so they don't want to, you know, the watering and everything else. So then to work stuff into that one, yeah, you're going to have to water to establish it. But once it's established, then it'll be a lot better.
You know, I always kind of used to assume that like all the grass was the same. But when you start to look around at some of the very like, you know, well looked after lawns.
Yeah.
Mine is definitely, you know, I used sod to yep. set it.
Yes.
And, some of the other lawns that I'm noticing, say around my neighborhood, the actual blades of grass look different. You know, like there's different seed varieties and they kind of produce a different look depending on what you've got.
And it depends how you take care of it too, because if you don't take care of it well, the fescues will come out more than the Kentuckys. If you take care of it really well, the Kentuckys will be more dominant.
Mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you water, fertilize lots and everything else, the Kentucky Blues will take it.
There's one lawn down the street from me, and he gives me a good run for my money. But his lawn, it's the grass is so much finer and hair-like.
Yeah,
it's very fluffy.
That's the Kentuckys.
Mine is very thick and dense.
Yeah, yours is the Canada number one mix, which has the mix of fescues and Kentucky Blues in it.
Right, and his is very...
Yep.
It's not sparse, but it's very, very fluffy. Yep. It's very light-looking grass. It's quite long,
but that
keeps it long.
That fluffy type of grass, you have to be very careful with it because it's you have to fertilize a little more to keep it green all year round because the mixtures have grasses that'll stay green at different times of the year in spring, in the hot part of the summer, or in the fall. Whereas some of the other ones, if you just put one blend of that fluffy Kentuckys, it'll you have to keep on top of it. You're more manicuring your lawn.
But if you're wanting to get into something like this, like talk to the experts, go down
right.
to Earlies. That's what they specialize in is this grass seed. So like talk to them and sort of figure out what your area is. Make sure you go in. Do I have a sunny area? Do I have a shady area? How moist is the soil? So do some of that probing around with that rebar before you go in and figure out kind of what your area is so that we can get the right seed for
you. Yeah. I have a neighbor that has a sand area and then what he's done right now is he put in some barley.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And he mixed that in with his grass because he's growing into sand. So the barley's coming up like really quick and it's going to protect the grass seed.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And till the grass seed, until the barley, obviously it's an annual, so it'll just die out, right? And so then the grass will take over first after that. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different things you can do.
Okay. Over to the text line when we get back. But right now, it's time for a break. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Les in Corning, one of our regulars, yep. by the way, on the text line says, I also put my phone through the lawnmower.
Thank you, Les. I'm not the only
one. I feel the love.
So don't feel alone, he says.
Thank you.
I got my SIM card back as well. I have never heard anything explode like that, says Les. Oh, that's too funny. Thanks, Les. That's great.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
I had some $20 bills in my phone, and they were fine. All together intact. What's the deal with that?
Yeah. What
my
is with
phone
that?
My phone was mismatched.
Canadian Monopoly money survives.
Canadian Monopoly money. There
but
you go.
One last thing I want to talk about before we go on to anything, Jay, is yep. that now's the time because you've been cutting your grass quite a few times. If you haven't tipped your lawnmower over and don't do it on the grass because you might tip some gas out if you have a push mower and that. Do it somewhere on the gravel or somewhere and get the buildup of grass under your deck.
Yeah.
So clean it all out. You know, take a screwdriver and that and clean
it
out.
Paint scraper
or whatever. Clean it out because if you don't get the air movement pulling the grass up and cutting it, it won't work properly. So if you haven't never done that this year yet, now's the time to get, before you cut your lawn next time, make sure your blades are sharp. Because if you get all these little brown tips on your lawn, you know, your brown, it's probably because your blades aren't sharp, right?
Yeah.
And you actually tear the top of the blade grass off rather
instead
than cut it.
Cutting it, yes.
Right? So sharp, get your sharp, get sharpened up, use a file or whatever. And,
Angle grinder
or whatever, and then sharpen them up, but then also clean all that grass off that's been stuck to the bottom of your deck.
And to finish that sentence is try to avoid cutting wet grass.
Yep.
You know, like, I know obviously the lawn has moisture in it because it's alive, but I really, you know.
But some people have time. They got to do it in the morning or something like that, and there's dew on it or whatever. So
then you get more buildup in the bottom of the lawn more. So then it is important to scrape that stuff off.
You'll cut your grass way better if you get that deck clean underneath.
Right. Okay. Let's go to this text from Amy, who's an Asquith. Says, there's two of them. Sorry. We just moved to an acreage and have mole hills starting to pop up more and more. Should we let them be, or will they eventually take over if we don't do anything?
They will take over.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so a mole what?
Mole. It's called a black hole trap.
Okay.
And we don't have any in stock on those, but I know that you can get them early, so they can send them in the mail or whatever to you as well. They used to PV Mart. They're not around anymore, but they used to have them. I think Prince's Auto might have them, and maybe Canadian Tire. They're made by Victor, and
that's the mouse trap company, Victor. Yes,
and it's called the black hole trap. And okay. I have one for the moles, and I have one for gophers as well. They both work really well.
My son really has lots of fun with them.
Yeah, I've caught lots of gophers. I tell you, the gophers were just the farmers are having problems with gophers. Yeah, they're moving into my acres like you wouldn't believe. And so I was able to mitigate that quite a bit by. But they're digging holes everywhere underneath every single one of my trees and cutting the roots and everything else. So yeah, no, it's quite something. But the moles, yeah, you get those. They'll if they get into your garden. I've been in my garden, sitting in my garden. All of a sudden, I'm looking, and have you ever seen that? You know, like a Bugs Bunny or Roadrunner, cartoon where you see the carrots go down through the ground.
Yeah,
you know?
That's Bugs Bunny.
That's exactly. I watched one do that.
Disappear. So
the mole took it right. I was in the garden.
It went right down.
I watched that go right down.
That's hilarious.
So,
right on.
So yeah, they can do devastation. I in the nursery, I've lost rows of roses and everything else where they've just gone and cut all the roots off. I go and harvest them, and there's no roots left at all.
Okay. Amy's second question says, when should we fertilize Villosa lilac saplings? Our neighbor, so that's the first part.
Yep.
When?
Yep.
Now and then one more time?
One more time, yep.
Okay. Our neighbor has 4 to 5 foot poplars growing in the ditch and gave us permission to dig up a few. What's the best time of year to dig up and plant those?
Spring.
Yeah, okay.
In the middle of, poplars don't transplant that well in the fall. Okay. I don't know why. They're tough plants, but I find they just don't do that well. But in spring, not a problem whatsoever. But you have to dig them right away in especially if you're cutting suckers and that. You want to do them as soon as the frost's out of the ground in the spring before the leaves come on. So you're talking about anywhere from the 10th of April to the 20th of April.
You're wanting to go right now and kind of pick which ones you want to transfer, they don't look like much in the spring because they're just little sticks coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's nice to mark them now, and then you know exactly which ones you're going to take in the spring.
Yeah.
Okay. Kathy's in Saskatoon. I've got a new orchid. I'm looking for tips, the best way to care for it. So
yeah, most likely it's a Phalaenopsis orchid.
Yeah, probably.
Gets lots of blooms on it. While it's blooming, you just want to give it sunlight and maybe about once every few weeks, put it in a sink of water with some orchid food and just let it soak there for about 5-10 minutes and then take it out, drain it, and then put it back into the sun.
How long do you let yours soak for?
20 minutes.
20
yeah.
minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
Not very long. And neglect is kind of what they thrive on a little bit. So after it's finished blooming, you can let the stalk die back a little bit, and then you cut it down to the base. But I'll usually leave that up for a couple weeks.
Just the bract you cut down to the base, not all the leaves and that.
Just the stem.
Yep.
And keep it in a sunny area, and usually you'll see them bloom about once to twice a year.
Okay.
Is yours blooming right now?
Yeah. Okay. It's had the same blooms on it for 3 months.
You know what? The Phalaenopsis, if you want a flowering plant in your house, That's the plant to have. It's easy to take care of, and it won't, like yours, it just blooms all the time, doesn't it?
Except for the last time I had to force it with that banana trick that we talked about before, yep. Right? And it does work. Yeah. But mostly it just keeps kind of going and going and going.
It's an awesome plant.
Yeah.
We got some beautiful dendrobium orchids in at the greenhouse right now, and I had to take one home. It was white with pink tips with a orange center. So pretty.
But I'm saying don't be afraid to have it in an orchid. It's a beautiful flowering plant in your house.
Kathy's next text is, last year our cherries had maggots. Is there anything we can do to prevent this in the future?
Basically, pick them. If they got maggots, the best way to do is pick them. Pick them and get rid of them. Don't leave them to sit on the ground and then the maggots go down to the ground and be the fly for next year again. You got to stop that cycle. So you got to pick them and get rid of them. Get them out of the yard. Don't put them in your compost.
So you're going to miss a year, but then you'll get rid of the maggots.
That's where you'll cut down the cycle.
You got to stop the cycle. So you can, that's probably the best way to do it. I mean, there are sprays, but sprays you have to hit the right time. And every year those flies come at a little bit different timing. And so it's really hard to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And putting on lures, little lures of things that sticky, almost like a sticky trap, putting them in the plants. In basically the flies will come up in middle of June to the middle of July. That's when they usually will emerge. And so if you get those sticky traps out there and those kind of things, that helps too.
Okay. Darren says, is it okay to cut back iris plants now that they've finished blooming? They're blocking the view of my roses.
With iris plants, you don't want to cut them back until the leaves, they look like they're turning yellow.
Yep.
So that plant is still actively growing. You want those rhizomes that are underneath the soil just to
you cut
build
the
up
stem,
energy.
You cut the stem, the flower stem down,
yeah,
but don't the leaves until they turn. They'll turn color pretty quick, though.
Yeah, into the fall.
Yep.
Okay, I think that kind of, well, that's going to take us to our break here. We still got texts coming up from Bev, Barry, Elaine. Somebody wants to talk about asparagus in Yorkton, which is great. Another one from Kathy. There's a few more, so stick around. Lots to get to. We'll get to that all when we get back. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We've got lots of text to get through, so that's what we're going to do right now. Go to our text line. Bev is in Yorkton. We've got a Walker Carragana that sends up shoots around its base. Is there any way of limiting those shoots other than cutting them off? Cut them. Hang on a sec. There we go.
Cut them off. You got to cut them off to start with. Cut them and get rid of that stool bed as much low as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then get a product called either Top Gun or Advance.
Okay.
And then once a week, when you go around to cut your grass and that kind of stuff, if you see any little tiny little leaves coming out of the ground where those suckers would start at,
yep,
give them a spray of that. That'll burn them off, and then you don't create a stool bed, because every time you cut one of those suckers off, you know, every time you cut one off, you get two.
Right.
And that's how you get your stool bed, you know. But if you burn them off with this Top Gun or Advance, they're basically a herbicide, but they're not a herbicide that translocates into the tree.
Yeah.
It only burns off what you touch, okay?
Right.
If you burn them off, then they won't stool.
Okay. But basically, this is the nature of these trees.
Yes.
So you can't stop it from doing this.
You won't be able to stop it. You're going to control it.
You're going to control it. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Okay. 1-877-332-8255. Let's see this text. Says Barry from North Shore Fishing Lake, but I don't have a text there. So, okay. Barry, if you get the message, give us a text back again there. Question about elm trees again. This is Elaine, who's in Regina.
Yep.
My question is about elms. What's the timing as to banding and unbanding our elm trees?
Okay. You know,
are we still doing that?
Yep. We're doing that because the cankerworms are on their cycle, coming up on their cycle again.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to see a lot of them. We saw a bunch around Saskatoon and Regina. So, and small towns will happen the same thing. And so you put the band around September long weekend. Okay. And then you can leave it up until basically June the 1st. And then you take them off, because if you leave those bands on, you actually get the molding and everything else underneath your plastic and everything else, your insulation you have out there, it'll actually rot the bark away. So you have to take it off for the summertime. But put them on in September long weekend, beginning of September long weekend, and leave them on if you want until June, approximately June the 1st.
Okay. All right.
Because they have two cycles, sorry. The females crawl up the tree mainly in the fall, but they have some will have a spring run up as well.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Hopefully that helps you, Elaine. This is from Tim, who says, it's your guy with asparagus in Yorkton. It's all good there. That's great. Thanks for the update, Tim.
Awesome.
Need some help with a plum tree, though. Apparently it's bugs at the blossom stage of the plums. They don't form and make it to maturity. So we got a bug issue at the blossom stage on a plum.
So you can spray before and after the blossom stage, but not during the blossom stage.
Okay.
You'll basically damage your so just use a Bug X out and spray it before the blooms and after the blooms.
Okay.
And that's basically all you can do.
Right. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
But you do not want to spray during the blooms because you're going to make two things. You're going to hurt the blooms so they won't pollinate properly, and you're going to hurt the bees. Okay. So you do not want to spray during bloom time.
Okay. This is from Kathy, who's in the Battlefords. She just wanted to share something. She says, good morning, friends. Enjoy your show very much. I wanted to share with you about applying fertilizer such as like horse or cow manure. Have it tested for... now I can't pronounce this word. Aminopyrade herbicide spray contamination. There are three gardens that I believe have been affected by herbicide spray leaching into the manure that has harmed the plants. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
No? Okay. So.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because usually wherever your cattle are, they're not spraying herbicides. Right, wherever they're collecting the manure from. Because manures are usually from stockyards and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's been what the cows have eaten, you know, and
right.
Pooped out, but usually you don't see that, you don't hear about that very often.
Yeah,
so it's interesting.
Yeah. But thanks for the text, Kathy. Good to hear about. That's very interesting. This is from Dawn, who's in Regina, and says, I was wondering what's the best fertilizer for a juniper blue arrow shrub, and how often should I fertilize them?
Blue arrow is an upright juniper.
Okay.
More narrower and upright, a nice little plant, sort of turns more of a blue color, the blue arrow. And you want to fertilize every 3 weeks with a 30-10-10 from Mother's Day until July the 15th. So if you want to fertilize right soon, and if you only have 30-10-10 because it's an acid base, it's more the juniper's like acidic soil.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get them bluer, then even add a little bit of aluminum sulfate with them as well. At the same time, you're doing the 30-10-10 and they'll be even bluer. And so, stop around July the 15th approximately fertilizing. July 15th, July 30th in that range.
We're sold out of aluminum sulfate right now. We're waiting to get some more in.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Hot market, black market for aluminum sulfate. Right on. Terry's in Saskatoon. Good morning. What's the best fertilizer for a hawthorn tree? When should I do that?
Yeah, same thing. 20-20-20, 30-10-10. May, all trees basically. Start around Mother's Day. And then quit fertilizing on trees around July the 15th, approximately July 30th, and do that every year and just keep the plant moist.
Okay. Tim is from Lake Lenoir. Says our corn in the garden is 12 to 18 inches tall, looking really nice. That's good. Wondering about applying some granular fertilizer. I have leftover 20-liter pail of 13-33-0-15. Wondering if it could apply that with the granular lawn fertilizer spreader.
Yeah, it's pretty high in phosphorus, but corn is very, like, the big corn. I remember working out when I worked in BC, the corn growers there, like, they used to put on the manure like you wouldn't believe. The tractors used to get stuck in the low spots. They used to put on so much.
Wow.
Because their corn is very high. They eat lots of nutrients, right? So putting even things, even if you don't want to use, you probably could use that. I'd probably just... If you want to band it, that'd be probably a better way. So you're not putting a lot of that high phosphorus on the whole garden.
Band it. What do you mean by that?
Just rather than putting in a spreader and your spreader, you know, it shoots the fertilizer all over.
Yeah.
Right? Because then you probably want to just very carefully band it closer to where each side of the corn rows.
So kind of lay it by hand.
Lay it by hand, but don't dump it. Okay, because that'll burn the plant.
Yeah, and remember with corn, it doesn't like high phosphorus, and it doesn't like too much nitrogen when your crop is sort of maturing later on.
Yes.
So having a well-balanced fertilizer is the best one to use.
Well, because Tim did mention like using that with a granular lawn fertilizer, well, spreader, okay.
Yeah.
He just said spreader. Not a different fertilizer.
I wouldn't use a whole lot of it. I wouldn't put very much of it because it is a high, I worry about the high phosphorus. Like he said 33.
Mm-hmm.
That's only one that I'd use at the beginning of the season, not in the middle of the season.
Yeah, so you don't want a high phosphorus regularly through the season. You want a really well-balanced one with your corn and your vegetables, and then later on when it's maturing, make sure that you're not using like a 30-10-10 or something like that with a high nitrogen, because that will help delay.
But he almost has 2 months before it's going to really mature.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's okay there. But even if alpha pellet, you know, putting some of that in, putting some of the organics in there, because corn loves the magnesium, you know, it likes to put magnesium, boron, mm-hmm. calcium, all that other kind of stuff, which a lot of our gardens don't have a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what will make your plants grow like crazy as well. And humic is another great one that helps the soil release a lot of the nutrients for the plant as well. So those are the kind of things that you can use for corn. Will do a lot better than putting on that high phosphorus fertilizer.
Okay, so there you go, Tim. Scott in Silton says, is it too late to start the season to start a raspberry patch?
Nope.
No, if you're moving a raspberry patch, it's probably too late. But if you're wanting just to start one, you can definitely put some in the ground.
Yeah,
they're in pots at the garden center. You can, as long as you're around, not going to take off on holidays for 2 weeks after you plant them, because someone has to water them, get them established.
Okay. Pete is in Craven. Said, thought I'd send you guys this. The best crop of Saskatoons in a decade.
They're
size of grapes.
They're good.
Just loaded.
They are good right now. My Saskatoons in my yard are doing really well right now. So with those timely rains were perfect.
Okay. This is still Pete, but he says, by the way, I lost a huge elm tree in front of my house from Dutch elm disease.
And where's he from, Sid?
He's Craven.
Craven, yeah.
Next year, a shoot from the stump came up, turned brown, and died.
Yep.
The next year after that, it came out again, grew a little higher, turned brown, and died. That went for 4 years, but it lived now. It's 20 feet high, and it's thriving.
Oh, okay.
So that's unusual. It has recovered.
Because it goes into the sap and stays in the sap, right? So that's usually I'd keep an eye on it.
Okay. Just keep watching.
Yeah.
Right?
Because if it had Dutch elm disease, it'll be in the sap system. That'll be the problem.
So unless there's some sort of miracle that happened with that plant that it recovered from it or it was able to leach it all out, who knows, but...
It plugs up the pores, so you'll be able to tell. When if it does have it bad, the tree will start turning yellow and then brown and start wilting.
Which sounds like it's what it did.
Yep.
However, stranger things have happened, right? Yep. That's the thing about plants.
But what you want to watch is if you do have a tree that's had it, if a bug comes and crawls in that tree and then flies to another tree, you're going to spread it.
Or
as well
if it has the beetles around still, it'll does just a nesting area, right? So just monitor very closely.
And Tim can work, or sorry, not Tim, this is Pete, can work to keep it also healthy, right?
Yeah. Normally what I like to do with those trees, if I'm taking them down, is get a stump grinder in and grind it down so it doesn't come back.
Right, right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're going to hit our text line in a second, the lightning round to finish all this up before the end of the hour is going to come up next. But right now it's a little break. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, time for the lightning round here on Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We're going to get through as many texts as we can. Donna is in Saskatoon. Good morning. Planted two incredible hydrangeas in our front yard facing west last summer. Now they're filling out and getting ready to blossom. The leaves are curling up. What's going on with that?
Curling up can be two things. One could be aphids.
Okay.
Okay. They'll be on the bottom side of the leaves and they'll pucker up the leaves. So look for the insects. And the other one is just watching your watering. You know, sometimes too much watering or not enough watering will pucker up the leaves as well.
Yeah.
And it's the same symptom, right?
I think that Donna also sent us pictures of a Saskatoonberry bush, and I think it's the same sort of story
That's a pear slug.
That's a pear slug on the Saskatoon bush.
Yeah. That looks like that looks like a pear slug that's going
like
there.
Pieces.
So what it is, it's a sawfly, lays a little egg, right?
Okay.
And the egg it doesn't look like a slug, but it is looks like it's very transparent, and they suck on the bottom side of the leaves.
Mm. How do you get rid of it?
Those ones you can spray them with Endol, Bug X out, anything.
You have to get to the underside of the leaf.
Underside of the leaf, yep.
Okay. This is Reed from Regina. It says, I've got some tiger lilies in my yard. Quite beautiful, but I don't know what variety they are. Maybe you guys can help me out with that. They're just a beautiful
orange. Tiger lilies. They're an orange Asiatic lily. The variety is probably hard to determine just from that picture, but it is looks like a dwarf Asiatic lily, and it will multiply over the years, and just a gorgeous plant that
ours are multiplying like crazy.
You can continue to have in your garden.
Okay.
And they're just dwarf. They're short. Not really tall.
Can they be split or seeded? I'd like to propagate them to another location.
Yes. Yeah. So they are a bulb under the ground. So best time to harvest them is the early spring. So
mark them.
if you mark them now, mark where you have each one of them coming up, and then you're going to take a...
We have all these little, you know, those flags that you can pick them up at an irrigation place or whatever. These little blue flags or the yellow flags that SAS Power and SAS Tel uses a lot around, you know, mm-hmm. stick on the ground. We have our yard is cluttered with blue and green flags or white flags all over the place.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because my mom likes to move her perennials, yep. and she likes to move some of her bulbs yep. around. So you want to move them in the early spring is the best time. You can dig them up in the fall and store them for the winter season. That's how a lot of places will do them for production. But it's a trickier one for you to do. So you're best to mark them, move them in the spring.
Okay. Doug says, he's in Saskatoon, we're going to try some alfalfa pellets for the first time. We made tea. Just wondering, can you overuse it like some fertilizers? How often do you use it? Yeah. Flowers are healthy, just thinking some fertilizer to keep them healthy.
There's not a high nitrogen, and you could almost go every single watering with that.
You could, yeah.
It's so not a big deal.
You're not going to overdo it.
No, you're not going
to
overdo it.
So up to every time you water?
You don't have to do it every time you water, absolutely not.
No, but if you did, it wouldn't hurt.
It wouldn't hurt, but if you did it, if you did it every couple weeks, that'd be perfect.
Okay. This is from Wanda, I think. And Wanda says, I've got a mini tomato plant that came in a hanging basket. It's got lots of cherry tomatoes already. There are no more new flowers on it. Is it finished for the season, or can I cut it and it'll grow more blooms if it's pruned after all the current fruit is done? Do they do more rounds?
Well, that variety is a determinant variety, so it doesn't require any pruning or pinching, most likely, if it's in a hanging basket and growing quite bushy. So doing the pinching is not necessarily going to do anything for it.
How do you get it to bloom again?
Nutrients to keep it going
with new growth, but
alfalfa pellet tea.
Depends on how early it started. Some of those tomato plants might have been started back in February growing in the greenhouse, and it might just be towards the end of its season now.
So they will keep producing through a season and should, but they do have an end life eventually.
Yeah, but with that one, it still seems early, so yeah. I'd give it some fertilizer.
And, okay.
And let it go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Next one is from John in Saskatoon. I planted a maple tree this spring behind my house on a city berm. The ground is very compact, and I realized the root ball was planted on a bed of clay. The rest of the hole is filled with new topsoil and some of the native dirt.
Yep.
How can I tell if my tree is getting root rot from sitting on the clay? Anything I can do besides digging it up and replanting it?
Just using that piece of rebar?
Yes.
Poking the hole down to the bottom of the planting hole, and then just seeing how moisture is down below you, because you can't tell. And that little piece of rebar, just a 3/8 rebar, it has ribs on it. When you bring it up, it brings a little sample up.
Now, of course, if you find that it's, say, sopping wet down
then
there,
just poke a bunch more holes and aerate.
Right, or you've talked about the chimney idea before, right?
Yeah, if it's really, really, like you got a low spot, but he's put it on a berm.
Right.
Right, so you're not, I don't think you're going to have too much of a problem with the moisture content up on the berm. If you're in a low spot, yes, I had one customer called this other day, and they have a spot. They showed me pictures, and there's actually water was sitting along the fence line. So I told them to build pitcher's mounds at about 3 inches taller than that area, and then plant your tree to the top of the root ball to the top of the pitcher's mound, and then make a little moat on the top to hold water to water yourself. Your pitcher's mound has to be wider than your planting hole. Not as wider than the ball of the plant, but wider than the planting hole.
Okay.
And then keep the water from going into that hole.
All right. Judy is an Indian head and says, I'm looking to plant a white lilac, preferably a non-suckering one. Do we have non-suckering white lilacs?
No, because Madame Lemoyne, Beauty of Moscow, but they're all suckering varieties.
So what variety do we have that doesn't sucker?
In white, there is
nothing.
Nothing. There's just light pink ones, like a Velosa or something like that.
What's another white fragrant flower that you could put that wouldn't sucker? A mock orange.
Oh, mock orange, beautiful plant. Lots of flowers, doesn't sucker.
Because Judy says, it's going in my small backyard. Planting area is about 9 feet wide. It'd be likely, you know, full grown height to be about 9 to 10 feet. It's to add privacy. Is it too late to plant this year? Can you recommend varieties that might be available, obviously? So
white, that tall, probably Snowball would be a good one to put
Snowball.
In. Yep.
Okay.
Viburnum Snowball.
Viburnum snowball.
Oh, yep. Beautiful plant.
Okay, yep. So that would be a better...
Yeah, better choice.
Better choice for that if
you
sucker.
If you want the wet flowers, no suckering, we'll get about that tall.
Okay, there you go, Judy. Hope that helps you out. There's only like two texts we missed. We'll get those answered off the air here, but otherwise, thanks for joining us. Back again, same time, same place next weekend, live again. Yeah, it's over, Rick.
We're done already.
That's it.
Happy summer.
Enjoy your Sunday. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.